a shame, isn't it, that we should be concerned about legality and laws over something which is just as common and everyday and plain and right and lawful and scriptural and beautiful as the Lord made it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, I've given marriage counseling to many couples, and especially just before marriage, usually. But I don't think I ever counseled this large a group. I never married so many people before either. But we found in years of experience that though you may think you know everything, even though you're not married, nevertheless, you may have a few things to learn. Or there may be a few things you should have learned and didn't. I used to counsel couples singly, one at a time. I mean, each boy, then the girl, and so on. And then talk to them together. Because I was so afraid I'd embarrass one or the other, you know. Having to talk in front of their mate. Good night, if you can't even talk in front of your mate, how in the world are you going to get married? Then we discovered, one at Laurentide, that even group sessions were beneficial. Others have proved that group psychology and group therapy has been very beneficial, because they shared their problems and they discussed them frankly, and sometimes your problem is another person's problem and gives you the courage to speak out about it. And yes, well, yes, that's my problem. What do you do about it? Try to find a solution. It also helps you to get over some of these hang-ups of this pride trip, which is called modesty and embarrassment and bashfulness and privacy and so on. All pride. Now let's just face it. The reason you're embarrassed right now, if you are, is because of pride. To discuss such things openly. If I were afraid to discuss these things with you, if I were what I used to be, it would be because of pride. Ashamed. Ashamed of things we should not be ashamed of. Amen? How many of you have received a revolutionary lovemaking sheet? How many of you have your marriage sheet? Now, the scripture is very plain on a good many of these things, and a lot of times it's right there and you don't see it. So let me read you the introduction, the scriptures here. Male and female created he them. There is a difference, believe it or not. There's a difference. There's a difference. I think I told you the story about the little boy that was taking the bath. What he said to his mama? Tuck me in real nice like the little girl next door. There's a difference. My wife wants to know if I'm getting hot. Well, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for a sense of humor, but we ask you to give us wisdom and soberness and seriousness about some of these things which can create serious problems for married couples, Lord. Help us to have love and understanding, all of us, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Now, how many of you have read these lovemaking sheets? Now, don't lie to the Holy Ghost. How many of you have read them? They shall be one flesh, be fruitful and multiply. A marriage is honorable in all, the bed undefiled. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. That nice, beautiful word they use in the King James, benevolence, means lovemaking. Also the wife unto the husband. Defraud not one another. Don't withhold yourselves from each other. Except it be with consent. That takes two to consent. You understand? You must agree together. It takes two to consent. When that says defraud not one another, that means do not withhold yourself from each other unless it be with consent. Now, I'm dwelling on that point because that one point has destroyed more marriages than almost anything else. The wife, either thinking she's too holy after she gets baptized with the Holy Spirit or something, that she's not supposed to do that anymore. Or using it as a weapon to punish her husband. This is strictly forbidden by the Scripture. You're not to withhold yourselves from each other except with common consent. Both of you must agree to it. Now maybe she really is tired, worn out, and half sick and just can't make it if you love her, husbands, or vice versa. If he is, if you love him, wives, I'm sure you've already manifested your love by endeavoring to contain out of loving consideration for the other party. On the other hand, wives, if he cannot contain, it really doesn't take very much effort on your part. That's a little different the other way around. A woman can without even getting aroused. Of course, it's not best for her that way. And in that case, you may have to use some added lubrication because God has put the natural lubrication there if she's aroused. But if you haven't loved her enough, loved her up enough to get her aroused, why, the lubrication doesn't flow. You don't even need Vaseline if all conditions are as they ought to be. I'm sure Adam and Eve didn't have a jar of Vicks Vapor Rub handy or something. Or all the other products of the system. So the natural normal thing is if she is sufficiently aroused, it's not necessary, but it's better for her if she is. But it's possible, even if she is not. In which case, fellas, you better use a little Vaseline for your lubrication. She's too tired, doesn't want to, well then you have to. And it's not going to take much effort on her part. As long as it's not her period. In fact, the Scripture forbids it in the old law. Though we're not under the law anymore, it's still just plain common sense. It's not supposed to be good for her at that time. And I don't know all the reasons why. I'm not a doctor, even if I sometimes may sound like it. But there are reasons. And apparently God had his reasons, knew about it, and that's why he made that rule. All those rules were made for your physical welfare and happiness. Amen? If you're happily married and have no problems, maybe you can learn how to help others. Maybe you'll be out, have a team of your own someday, and be marrying kids and have to instruct them yourself, so maybe you just have to take a lesson in how to do it. We have some couples here that are getting married for the first time. And we use this sheet to save time, and I think it will save you the time. But I just want to impress on you, maybe you read it and didn't understand it. Possible if you're not married. Although I tried to make it very plain. Well, just remember that it has to be with consent. You cannot withhold yourself from him, and he cannot withhold himself from you. Either way, depending on your physical condition and health, so on, and your love and your consideration for each other. Amen? Now, as I say, it's a little different the other direction, because it takes quite a little bit of effort and strength on his part. If he's too tired, sometimes it's almost impossible. However, there are ways, even if he's too tired, to make you happy, girls, and they are described somewhat here, if you'll study this carefully. Is that clear? Now, that's very important. You may not realize how important it is, but over this withholding bit and this sometimes faking bit, just because somebody's mad, this has destroyed many marriages, because that's what marriage is for. Otherwise, you could just be good friends. So, please remember that girls, you are your husband's right. He has a right to you. And vice versa, boys, she has a right to you. God's word says so. Because neither one of you has power over your own body. In other words, you can't say, I'm my own and I don't have to. Because now you belong to each other. And you have to share. Marriage is a very humbling thing. That's one reason it's real good for you to get married. It humbles you, knocks some of that damn pride out of you. That, oh no, you don't need it. You can be independent and you can do as you please. Blah, blah, blah. Pretty humble to confess you need a woman. Pretty humbling to confess you need a man, girls, right? And when you get married, that's what you're confessing. That you have need, you have necessity, and praise the Lord. And even if you do separate for a time with consent, come together again, lest Satan tempt you for your incontinency. In other words, it's better to marry than to burn. Try to accommodate him, girls, to the best of your ability. That's his right, even when you don't feel like it. And boys, try to accommodate her. This is something that needs to be talked about. The best of your ability to please her, make her happy, and satisfy her. And you can do it. You can do it even if you're not able, if you know what I mean. Maybe sometime I'll have the courage to speak very, very frankly. Boys, I said, boys, you can do it even if you're not able. Hands are wonderful things. They can really give a lot of loving. And they can finish the job when nothing else can. Amen? Some of these girls have that satisfied smile on their faces, showing they agree. Praise the Lord. I wish I had pictures on the wall and charts and everything to explain things to you, and I threaten, and I'm going to, and God help me, I should have done it by this time. For the present necessity and the present distress, to draw pictures here to show you the parts of the body. The parts of the human, the male species, are not hard to find, but parts of the female are pretty well hidden. And it's a kind of a, that's where most of the rub comes. I mean, well, I didn't mean it that way, but you know what I mean. The fact that these parts are not so obvious and need a little more describing, a little more picturing, and so on. Some of you may have had some sex education classes before, college or high school, even grade school nowadays. But some of you may have not had such an opportunity or privilege. Anybody here think we should be ashamed of the parts of the human body? That which God created for you to use and enjoy and propagate. Any reason why you should think it's bad or evil or dirty or wrong? Huh? Anybody here that's too bashful for me to describe or draw pictures? Anybody want to leave now? Yes, I'm sure there's some would like to, but maybe this will be a little lesson for you. Praise the Lord. Now, you can copy this on your notes, I'm sure. No worse than a sex education class in school. One of the biggest problems of married life is the woman. Of course, the man, he's a problem too. But one of the most common failures, of course, of married life is failure to satisfy your wife. A man usually is not too hard to satisfy. In fact, he usually gets satisfied because he can't usually do it unless he's pretty well along. If so, then he's usually satisfied. But in the case of the woman, some of these things are not quite as obvious. She may not be as much aroused. And this is not as evident as it is in the case of the man. The man is aroused. It's pretty evident and quite obvious. But it's not as easily shown in the case of the woman, the wife. So it takes a great deal more care and loving care and patience with her, sometimes beyond that of the man. And therefore, the parts of the woman's body are extremely important to you husbands to know what you're doing. And I may be drawing on the board here for the first time for some of you husbands something, even though you've been married this long, you didn't know what was there. I don't know, as you've read books and studied and had some sex education before. But just in case you haven't, I'm not going to suppose that you have. Even if there's just one person here who doesn't know this, it's worth it for their sakes. Amen? Now, this is not one great big hole. This is the Mons Venus, or the pubic area. And these are called the labia majora. That just means big lips. And in the Bible, where it says that she wipeth her mouth, speaking of the harlot, and says, I have done no wrong, this is the mouth it was talking about right here. Believe it or not. Now, it's very important that I show you some of these things because, especially some of you just getting married, you need to know. Now, you could probably fumble around, eventually discover these things through a few weeks, months, even maybe days of experience. But it might save your wedding night for to know a little more about it and not be frustrated, disappointed, and unhappy, and wondering if maybe there's something wrong with you or your wife. If somebody had been kind enough to explain all this to me in very simple terms, show me and my wife, we first got married, we might have, maybe that's one reason I insist on doing it for you, we could have saved ourselves a week of agony and a trip to the doctor to see what was wrong with us. There wasn't anything wrong. Nothing wrong with either one of us physically. Just she was so inhibited with all her holiness background that she was tied up like a knot. And I didn't know how to make love. I was so bashful and so holy that I was afraid to touch her to loosen her up. And I wouldn't have thought of giving her a drink of wine in those days to relax her. Wine is a dandy relaxer. Candy's dandy, but liquor's quicker. I just warn you, fella, you better not drink too much of it or you may not be able. Of course, you don't have that much around usually, but on your wedding night, we try to furnish you a little to give your wife, maybe it might help her. Kind of relaxes her. And this is very important. This is why the preliminary lovemaking is important. Caressing her in the way you're described here in the sheet. All of those parts. And particularly this one. Believe it or not. Lest you misunderstand and get the wrong hole, I better show them both for you. One way down here called the anus. And that is not for you, buddy boy. That is for her BMs. And if you don't watch out, you could hit the wrong one. And if she's stupid enough and ignorant enough, she might not know the difference. Of course, there are some perverts who prefer it that way. Very dirty business. But there are actually some perverts who go for that sort of thing, and this is the sort of thing that God judged in places like Sodom and Gomorrah and so on. Sexual perversion, that which is against nature, of which Paul spoke. These things are unlawful, according to God's word. To say the least, they're just plain ridiculous. They are harmful to health, as any doctor will tell you. So stay away from perversion. Right above that is another one. That's for you. The opening of the vagina. Oh, I could give you a lot of the technical names. They got little technical names for every little bitty part here. But you don't have to know all that. All you have to know is that's where it's at. Now, a little bit above that, another very, very small hole. No chance of you getting in that one because too small, but that's very important because that's the end of the urethra, which is where she urinates. And you probably couldn't even find it, but anyhow, it's there. And isn't it amazing how God has placed it in that position? For the purpose of washing, cleanses, believe it or not, the uric acid in a woman's urine helps to cleanse and purify and disinfect her. Flows right over the rest of these parts and washes. God has thought of everything. Beautiful. And now, one of the most important parts the sexual field of a woman's body the thing you must know something about if you're going to keep her happy? And if you're going to make yourself happy? Because the greatest happiness is found in making someone else happy. Now, fellows may have a physical necessity and just get rid of your necessity, but you're not necessarily going to be happy. You may be relieved, delivered, and relaxed and ready to go to sleep, but maybe your wife isn't. And I would dare say, in all of the marriage counseling I have ever done with couples who are having trouble, that was the principal difficulty. Where the women were running around after other men instead of their husband, and or just simply unhappy, or possibly so tied up in knots from tension that was not relieved, or actually suffering backaches, headaches, congestion, and eventually even diseases can arise from the lack of satisfaction on the part of the woman. A woman's body, those organs, the sexual organs of a woman, become filled with blood just like the sexual organ of a man at such a time, in case you don't know it. And their changes take place. Ordinarily, she's as tight as a snap purse, almost like she's zipped up. But when she's aroused, and if you've loved her properly, been tender and gentle and caressed her as you should, this will automatically open, these lips, till they fall wide open. Loving has just the opposite effect on her as it has on you, fellas. It relaxes her, and it makes you even more tense. But she has a certain tension also, which builds up there due to this blood that goes to these various parts. Now, this is just the opening of the vagina, which is actually a long tube which extends within her body to the... I don't have time to draw you the other pictures, the side pictures, and show you that the vagina is this long tube which leads varying length in some women. It doesn't matter because God has so made that tube so it can adjust to any size. It's made like stretch tights. And it doesn't matter what your size is, boy, she fits. Thank the Lord. Amen. God's foresight. Remember, God planned all of this. Nothing to be ashamed of, nothing funny. It's wonderful how the Lord planned it all. And this tube leads sort of at a 45 degree angle, sort of upward when she's in this position. The other end is the uterus, or the opening, the mouth of the uterus, and there is where, inside the uterus, that fertilization takes place, that pregnancy takes place. With the egg that comes down from the ovaries, lodges on the wall of the uterus. The baby has to come out of the uterus. The uterus ordinarily is not much bigger than that. Not much bigger than a pear. Pear-shaped too. About like that. In normal state without fertilization. And yet it can grow and expand. Very thick walls can expand till it can hold an entire baby. And this tube can enlarge and expand to where a baby can pass right through it. Think of that. Although on your wedding night, boys, you may find it's even difficult to get in. Believe it or not. Unless you use a little wisdom, sometimes a little Vaseline, and a little hard work. And that's very important. Right above that is something which varies in size, shape, with various women, but all has about the same principle. It's a little mound. It is about like this. It has a little bump on it, and sometimes it extends considerable distance. It's called the clitoris. Now, to show you how we are fearfully and wonderfully made, though extremely small, small little button there, press the button, see what happens. Some wonderful things happen. If she doesn't feel like it, you can make her feel like it. At least most women. Some women, you can never make them feel like it. That's what they call the women who are frigid. They say that most whores and harlots, it's almost impossible for them to ever reach a climax, which is called an orgasm. Climax or a peak, but she comes to that point where she reaches the climax, peak of feeling, because they have abused their bodies so long, they don't even feel it anymore. They're like people's consciences. They become darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life that God intended for them to live, and past feeling. They can't feel anymore. Almost nothing can make them feel it. They have to use all kinds of instruments and vibrators and streams of water and everything else. They can hardly feel like it because they've so abused their bodies, so exhausted their nervous system, it's almost impossible for them. But the normal woman, with a little love making and a little petting, a little necking, whatever you want to call it, caressing of her body in all the right places, including this, especially this, can be usually encouraged to make love and want to make love real bad or real good. Praise the Lord. That little bump is extremely important to her, believe it or not. Now, this whole area inside the lips, there are some kind of more little lips sort of down here, underneath here, that run around this hole like this, called the labia minora, meaning the little lips. And you'll find them there on both sides of that hole. They cover the hole, even if the big lips are open, unless they're spread apart quite a ways. All this area inside of these lips, especially around the mouth of the vagina here, is very sensitive in response to the touch, but particularly this point here in most women. Now, believe it or not, fellas, there are almost no nerve endings inside the vagina along the walls of the vagina itself. A woman has almost no feeling inside that hole. You may think by sticking your finger in there and fiddling around that you're getting her all excited. Well, just the idea of it might excite her, or the fact that there's pressure around the outer parts of the hole there may be what's exciting her. But it's a fact of science that there are virtually no nerve endings inside along the walls of that tube called the vagina. Now, there are some nerve endings at the mouth or the cervix of the uterus. Believe it or not. Why do you suppose God put those nerve endings there? So you'd get that far too. There are nerve endings there which are even stimulating to try to make sure you get all the way in and you get that semen as far in as possible so the poor little guy won't have to swim too far. Because that's what those little seeds do. They actually swim like little tadpoles. They swim up the moist surface inside and they make their way all the way up. It doesn't matter. All this whole business of withdrawal, which is absolutely against God's word, in coitus interruptus, which is a method of trying to prevent pregnancy, you know, have the guy jerk out just before he goes, which is something for which God killed a man in the Bible, because he was robbing his brother's wife of a child. It was absolutely prohibited that is not even absolutely sure, believe it or not. There is no method of so-called pregnancy prevention which is 100% sure. Doesn't matter, even if you use condoms, these rubber things, or the buttons on the girl, the rubbers for the man, or anything else. And I believe they're absolutely unscriptural. You are not becoming one when you do that. This is that which is against nature, according to God's word. If you haven't got enough faith to trust God, that God knows what to do, He knows His own business, He knows when you should have a child and when you shouldn't have one, then you shouldn't be married. Is that clear? But you can trust Him. I found out that trusting works. I've had them say, oh, what a nicely planned family, all 2 years apart. I said, well, you have to give God the credit for the planning, not me. Because I was there quite often. And we didn't use any preventatives either. Contraceptives, incidentally, can be very damaging to the women. Seriously damaging. Can cause cancer, sickness, inflammation, infection, damage, all kinds of things. Very bad. As well as make things very difficult and unsatisfactory. Well, the little bump here is extremely important. She does have feeling around here too, and all around inside these lips. Fellas, if she needs to get better prepared, you simply run your finger all around inside there and caress this little bump in particular. Sometimes it's just one little bump, sometimes it's longer, like this. Sometimes it has a lot of feeling on both sides. It all varies with the woman. God made a lot of variety in the world. Isn't that wonderful? So you just find out what's pleasing to her, and don't be ashamed to tell him, girls. Damn that damn pride of yours. That's, you're so sanctimonious and you're so holy and so pious that you're afraid to tell him that it feels good. Right there, went a little lower, faster, slower. Call the shots, give the signals. Tell him. Tell him, there's nothing to be ashamed of, nothing to be embarrassed about. Tell him. Boy, the first years of our married life, my wife and I were afraid to even talk to each other about such things. So when we were able to find each other in the bed, it was so dark and she had so many clothes on. God damn this holiness bit. So-called holiness, I mean, this self-righteous bit. Most holiness is damn self-righteousness. Well, I'll tell you, I'm often thinking about the Lord and praising the Lord and saying, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, and praising the Lord, and thank you, honey, right while I'm doing it. I mean, if you've got a natural habit of praising the Lord, you'll praise Him, the Lord, at all times. Amen? And thank Him and thank her. Don't forget to thank her. Don't forget to thank Him. Gratitude's a great thing in married life. Don't ever let her hand you a glass of water or a glass of milk or fix you a meal without thanking her. Thank her for everything, boys. Thank Him too. Show gratitude. Show appreciation. It's a great help. Praise God. Anyhow, don't be ashamed to use your finger. What do you think God made it for, anyhow? If it feels so good, why did God make it that way if He didn't mean for you to let her feel it? Huh? If God didn't mean for her to be touched around there, how come He made it feel so good? Because that thing you put in here doesn't hardly affect it up here. Although it has a slight effect on it. With that push-pull method, there's something about the drawing of these tissues that does pull down a sort of a little hood on that little button and does have an effect on this, but not near as much as your finger. That button was put there for you to press to open the door. And that's exactly what God says in his word in the Song of Solomon, my beloved put his hand in at the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. She wasn't having a BM. That's just the nice, delicate language the Bible uses. It means he was putting his hand right down in here and got her opened up where she felt like it. Now, that's what it's talking about. I'm just talking simple language so you can understand. I don't know what you got in school, but I'm drawing pictures and make it plain, simple. And I'm trying to do it and remind you of the Lord at the same time that that's the way he made it. And God intended for it to be. And it'll make all the difference in the world in your married life if you keep her happy. Is that clear? Don't be afraid to put your fingers down there, boys. And massage this in particular. Slow or fast, depending on how much she can stand, how much she likes it. Watch out you don't go too far. She may go before you do, before you get there. However, if she's like some women are, she can go several times in a row, believe it or not. It is possible for women to have a series of climaxes. Now, not all women. Most women just have one. Some women can have several, believe it or not. I've had my wife go as many as 3 times in a row. One right after the other. With a little help. Of course, it's a little exhausting, but wow, if she's having trouble sleeping, she'll sure sleep after that, I'll tell you. This is impossible for a man, as a rule. Even the most strong and virile of men can hardly go more than once every hour. Once in a great while, there's a man that's strong enough to go twice and a half inside of a half an hour. That's very unusual. Average man, if they went 1 hour, it's an hour at least before they can go again. And frankly, that's not too good for you to go too often. Once a night or once a morning is sufficient for the average man. In fact, maybe too much if he's working hard, not getting enough rest. Every other night is usually considered moderation and normal for most married people. But if both of you are extremely virile and strong and you like it and are able, nightly is not too much for you. I've gone every night, almost every night, for maybe a whole year at a time, believe it or not. It's possible. And even at what's considered the declining sexual age by most people, or they think it is, or they say it is, men over 40, you know, you got to get this, you got to get that, get inspired. Men over 45, supposed to become impotent. That's only because they have abused their bodies or abused the privileges or contracted diseases or something. Judgments of God and are no longer able, or there are psychological factors involved. The fact of the matter is, my grandfather was still going strong in his 80s and said so. They asked him when he was in his 80s, when does a man usually get impotent? He says, I don't know. I never have become impotent yet. Anyhow, it's extremely important to prepare the wife. I bet it was a year before I had the courage to even touch my wife's breasts. We were so straight-laced and so narrow-minded and so holy and so spiritually minded, I was almost afraid to touch her. You can imagine that. It's ridiculous. And the Bible says plain as day, let her breasts satisfy you at all times. Pet them, suck them, love them, kiss them, anything. This extremely arouses some women. Some women can have an orgasm just through your caressing the nipples, believe it or not. She's one of them right here. Good example. That's why it's so important for a mother to nurse her baby. That's why a lot of married women have female trouble. Because it helps the organs return. It helps the vagina, uterus, and all to contract and return to normal shape because the baby nurses the mother. And another thing, it's very important for you to prepare those nipples for the baby's nursing, believe it or not. The doctor told Jane, now remember, be sure that you take a wet cloth every day and you massage around the nipples so it'll toughen them up and get them ready for the nursing baby. I said to her later on, after I'd had a little experience, nothing doing. I'll do that job myself. As somebody has said, man has come from woman and spends the rest of his life trying to get back where he came from. I'm dealing with problems, particularly right now, and that is one of the major problems. Satisfaction of the wife and preparation of the wife for intercourse. Now, if she will not tighten up enough here, she will not lubricate enough here, if you don't prepare enough here. Is that clear? And you can find out when she's ready just by feeling around with your finger. When this thing begins to get so wet and wild, it's obviously well lubricated. That means she's getting ready. Amen? Don't start right here now, boys. I know I'm getting you all excited. Hallelujah. That's extremely important for the preparation and the satisfaction of your wife, fellas. Now, that's up to you. Well, I want to tell you something else, girls. If he is so damn stupid or lazy that he fails or refuses to do it for you, you can help yourself and use your own finger down there. Believe it or not, there's nothing unlawful or unscriptural or illegal about it. Is that clear? I mean, while he's busy with other parts or whatever he's doing, it's perfectly legal for you to help get yourself going so you'll be ready for him when he's ready. Of course, maybe if he's getting a little old and tired, why, you might be able to read a book while he's getting ready. But boys, if you have a wife who really loves you, she has infinite patience, and even if you're tired, she can usually be successful with you. That's important too, girls. Just as there's nothing wrong with your husband touching you down here, or even you touching yourself down here, neither is anything wrong with you touching him where he counts. Is that clear? Nothing unscriptural, nothing unchristian, nothing bad, nothing nasty, nothing wrong with it at all. This is an old damn hang-up from some old damn holiness Christian, so-called. Probably the same kind that thought sex was dirty in the first place. God made it. You're supposed to use it. With it or play with it or whatever you want to call it. But he made it for you to enjoy. And all of this, how you operate in this operation, can manifest how much love you have, real love. This is only love making. This is only the physical. But it will show. It is a physical manifestation of the spiritual love that you have for your mate. Your patience at it, your tenderness, your gentleness, your desire to please will show how much real love you really have. Is that clear? Now, these are two of the major problems of marriage. First of all, the preparation of the woman. Man doesn't usually have, you don't have too much problem preparing him unless he's old. But a woman can take even an old man, and she's got lots of patience, lots of love, can inspire him too. Or even if your husband's tired, sister, and he just doesn't feel like it, you can make him feel like it. Just take your hand. Go to work. He'll feel like it. Nothing wrong with it at all. I mean it. And boys, if she's just so damn bashful and so sanctimonious, self-righteous, that she's afraid or ashamed to touch you down there, why, there's nothing wrong with getting yourself ready if you have to. Or you're not going to be able to satisfy her either, or perform your ministry that the Lord wants you to perform. Now, normally you won't have to. In many cases, the proper stimulation just of loving your wife will accomplish that purpose. But particularly as you grow older, or you're tired, or something, you may find you need a little help. Either from her, which is best, because that's mutual. You can be loving her while she's loving you. Nothing wrong with it. Perfectly scriptural. It's even in the Bible. Believe it or not. But it's very important to the mutual satisfaction and enjoyment of both of you. Because this, remember, this, all of this is a type of your relationship with Jesus Christ. It's that holy. It's that clean. It's that beautiful. Believe it or not. It is a type of your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus is doing with his bride, knocking at the door. You open the door as his bride and he comes in. So don't forget that preparation is important to get her ready. Until she is open and juicy down there, she's not ready. And I mean it. And you could actually damage her, cause irritation, infection, if you try to come in before she's lubricated. Now, if she just doesn't feel like it, doesn't feel like getting aroused, doesn't want to, maybe she's sick even, and shouldn't be aroused because of the strength necessary, yet you need her, then, fella, you use a little Vaseline and lubricate yourself or her with the Vaseline, and this will take care of it, usually. I hope the Lord will help you understand this. Next most serious problem, besides improper preparation and improper satisfaction of the wife, one of the first problems you'll find as a newlywed is the fact that this hole here, the vagina, may or may not be, depending on the case, be almost closed by a little fleshly curtain called the hymen, or the virginal wall. It is simply a part of the opening which partially closes it. In some cases, not all cases by any means, many girls are born without it, so just because she doesn't have it doesn't mean she's not a virgin. Yes, all kinds of things could cause it to be absent. But sometimes this has to be stretched or almost torn away. There may be even some bleeding. It may hurt. But you can, by careful, prayerful, delicate, gentle working with either if she's already aroused and lubricated, the lubrication is there, or with Vaseline on your finger, fellas. Talking about you newlyweds especially, the ones of never yet gone together. You've not come together yet. You'll frequently find that she is tense, inhibited, fearful. Fear is a terrible thing. You need faith to get married. You need to relax, trust the Lord, trust your husband, because you can get so tense it can close up almost like a clam and he hasn't got a chance. Ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to give you faith, to help you relax, trust him, to love him, trust the Lord, and it'll make the job 100% easier. Now, the best procedure, get this. Now, this is what I intended to put pictures of on the opposite side of the sheet and deal with problems in marriage, such as these. How to open that door. You do it, first of all, by proper petting and caressing and loving and fondling. Get her ready, excited, aroused, and the lubrication is there. The lips are open, but there, the darn little hole is so small and so tight you can't even get in. So, the best thing for you to do before you ever try to get in is to take your finger, son, I'm talking to you boys, go to with good to clean Vaseline, or if she is naturally lubricated and aroused enough that the lubrication is there, just take your finger and gently put it into that hole. First the fingertip, push it in, gently, ever so gently. If you can get your finger in, if you can get one finger in, try working it in gently up to this. Usually this finger is the one right here because it's the biggest and the longest. If you can work, I'm not giving you the finger, folks. You're supposed to give her the finger. This is the one here, and you get it up to this big knuckle right here. If you can get that big knuckle through, you're making progress. You can buy some pretty good books. One of the best books is Human Sexual Response, put out by Dr. Masters at the University of St. Louis. It's the most complete. Now, the original came out in a big, heavy $10 edition, but you can get a little pocket book for about $1. On, of course, you don't have $1, but if you need it, I'll loan you mine or something. But you don't really need to read all that stuff. This is all you really need to know, basically, and you can learn the rest from here. I'm just trying to get you started. You learn all the rest and all the other, and there's an infinite thousands of varieties and ways. My wife and I are still learning, believe it or not. We've learned something different almost every year. God has made it so infinitely varied that you never have to get tired of or bored. There's still more to come. Some things you still haven't tried and some things you still don't know. If you can discover new ways and new things after 25 years of married life, I'm telling you, there's a lot there. That's the way the Lord made it. Now, this is very important. Let's not leave the subject of getting her open, because it's extremely important. It can be terribly frustrating. It was one of the most frustrating weeks in my life, because I was ready. And so was she. And I couldn't even get in, because I didn't know these things. So I'm describing in detail, helping you to understand, so you will know. You can get that one big finger in, as far as you can. You're making progress. Now watch this. Be sure there's good lubrication. Go gently. Tell her to tell you if you're hurting. You hear me? Are you listening, boys? Girls, did you hear that? Tell him if it hurts. Don't be so stupid that you're afraid to tell him when it hurts. Ouch. Not so hard. Not so fast. Take it easy. Tell him. Just very slowly work that finger in. if she's very tight. The next thing, if you can work either this one or this one, having gotten one in like this, you gradually work the other one in alongside of it, like this. Either that one or this one. If you can get two fingers in, boy, you're ready to go. I mean it. If you can get two fingers in, you are ready to go. Now, of course, in the process of doing all that, she may get so excited she may go bingo, because she's very sensitive. And maybe all over for her for the few minutes. But that's all right. She'll still enjoy having you there, even if you're a little later. Well, it might save you half an hour. But I'm telling you the easy way to do it. So you don't have to take her to the doctor at the end of the week and have her opened up by a machine and cost you $10 by using an expander. Take your finger, be sure it's well lubricated, boys, and you can get one finger in. I'm talking about you newlyweds in particular. I hope you're awake. Gently, you guide him, girls. Tell him if it hurts. And go slow. It's going to hurt. I warn you, girls, it will hurt. You'll have to possibly endure a little pain. Unless you're one of those, I might say, blessed ones, that maybe it's not too hard. But usually, in a newlywed girl for the first time, it can be a little tight. Now, sometimes it's not, so praise the Lord, you don't have to worry about it. In some cases, yes, give her another glass of wine. That was finally my solution. I asked the Lord what to do, and he said, give her some wine. It took me a few years to learn that, but praise God, it sure was a help. If she has a lot of inhibitions, and she's all tense with a lot of these crazy phobias and fears, and so on. I want to tell you, newlyweds, you boys getting married tonight for the first time, of course, maybe it might not be the first in this day and age. It's rather rare to find a young person for whom it's the first time. So she may be well prepared and know more about it than you do. Or you may be well prepared and know more about it than she does. Or maybe you're both well prepared and this whole lecture is in vain. But if so, maybe this is the first time you heard it from a godly standpoint, that it's not a sin, it's not wrong, it's not dirty, it's not evil. You weren't pulling something over on God that he didn't know all about already. Because he made it. But that's extremely important to you poor newlyweds, is to gradually, slowly, work your finger into that hole. Now, be sure you find the right one. And girls, don't be ashamed to guide him. Guide his fingers. Put your hand down there and show him where it is, if necessary, to the right spot if he can't find it. You might get the wrong one too far or something. But usually you don't have that much trouble. But just feel around very gently. Poke around until you find a place where your finger does go in. And then work it in gradually. And then if you get after getting one in, try to work the other one in beside it. Gradually. Very gradually. And in most cases, it'll probably hurt the first time. It may even bleed. It's not at all unusual. Don't get excited and scared. It's a good idea on your wedding night maybe to put a towel under you so you don't get the sheet dirty or bloody. And for the first time. Is that clear? That is, if you have any sheets, I don't know. See the equipment you need. You only need some Vaseline, some tissues for cleanliness afterward. And girls, let me tell you something. Perfume, if you have any, or if you can scrounge some, or maybe use a little hairspray, I don't know what, something to make yourself smell a little better. I'm not supposed to have any hairspray, but the Bible is full of scriptures about perfumes and ointments and so on. So if you haven't got any, borrow some of his. he's got some aftershave lotion or something. Especially around your ears. That's where his nose usually is. In the act. At your ears. It's wonderful how the Lord made you so your nose and your mouth are around her ear at that time when you're making love. And hers is around your ear so that you can whisper to each other, talk to each other, tell each other what to do. It can be beautiful if you have a perfectly clean mind, open mind, and it's scriptural, and you can approach it as a Christian ought to do. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Now, those are three of the major problems we've dealt with already. What were they? Can anybody recite them for me? Preparation? Satisfaction of the woman? Yes. And that's a part, of course, of her preparation the first time. Thank God you don't have to do that after that. Once it is open enough for that first time, it may still be a little tight. You may have to still give her quite a bit of preparation and keep that stretching that, getting it open. But you stick to it. You probably will until you succeed. Praise the Lord. Now, those are extremely important. That one about getting her open is extremely important for you newlyweds. The part about proper preparation is not only important for you, proper satisfaction is important for all of you fellas to remember. Is that clear? Don't be so damn selfish that you just hop on and go to it and drop off to sleep. And ignore your wife's needs. Ignore her desires. And ignore her satisfaction. Because she can reach just as extreme an orgasm as you can, believe it or not. In some women, it's more violent than others. Some women almost kick the slats out of the bed. Others, well, they come easy, go easy. So some are more violent, more expressive. And girls, let me tell you something. Don't be afraid to do what you feel like doing. Don't be ashamed to show it. I mean it. Did you hear me? Do whatever you feel like doing. Feel like bouncing up and down or kicking the foot of the bed or whatever you feel like doing or sticking your feet straight up in the air or whatever. I mean it. Whatever it takes, do it. In any position that feels best to you and satisfies both of you mutually, whatever. Sometimes one position will satisfy her better than you. Another position satisfies you better than her. Try them all. As the old saying goes, if at first you don't succeed, try again. So some of them got it and some of them didn't. Now those are extremely important to the success of your wedding night. That's why I'm taking time for you boys and girls to know that. This is a technical problem and you need to solve it. Lovingly, tenderly, gently, and with prayer. Amen. Ask the Lord to help. And I think we ought to give these married couples tomorrow off at least. The Bible gave them a whole year off, but the hour is late and this is the revolution. Praise the Lord. Did you know that some women have been known to have as many as 50 orgasms in a row? That's, of course, a freak. That's an absolute freak. Two or three is not unusual. But 50 in a row is a freak. But I'll tell you something, boys, you're missing something. If you don't learn a little, well, I can give you a lot of advice and counsel, but you will find that you're not on a drag strip trying to see who can reach the goal first. But this is the next point. Simultaneous climax is not too frequent. It's a little rare, but it's possible, and it's nice if you can both go together. The climax, that's the orgasm, that's the peak of the feeling. In case you haven't been there, you don't know. But she has one, you have one. Now, the man has a tendency to go first, especially if he hasn't properly prepared her and got her ready. Don't you be selfish and say, well, I've gone now and I'm going to go to sleep. You just keep going as long as you can and help her all you can, kiss her, love her, pet her, fondle her, and keep going as long as you're able. And tell her to keep going. If she has to stick her hand down there, keep going so that she can finish. And she can be satisfied also. And it's possible, and you can usually do it together with a little help and cooperation. Especially, now you find you can do this too, boys. The gentleman in a hurry is going to be a gentleman without a flurry. And pretty soon he may be a gentleman without a furry. If you know what I'm talking about. You can slow down, boys, and wait for her, in case you don't know it. You can slow down and wait for her. In fact, you can even stop. Just stop. Stop movement completely. And if necessary, she can slip her fingers down in there between you and touch that spot with her hand and get herself going a little further and faster to try to catch up with you before you move again. And you will find that while you are waiting, the crest of your wave has slightly subsided and you can work up to it again. And you can do that, boys, believe it or not, as much as 50 times. Because I know I have done it. You can go right up to the peak and stop and let it die down a little bit. Did you hear that? Now, I'm telling you these things because they're important to your happiness as married people. You may wonder tonight why in the world I'm going into all these gory, gruesome, bloody details, but you'll find out before your married life is over. And ignorance of some of these things has absolutely almost wrecked some marriages and caused some women to leave home. And some men. But you can wait. And you'll find out, boys, if you learn a little continency, a little self-control, a little patience, and stop, that you will immensely increase and prolong your own pleasure. Believe it or not. You can reach a peak without going many, many times. And there's not a thing wrong with that. Perfectly helpful as long as you can do it. And at the same time, she is being better satisfied and has time to catch up with you in case she's behind. Now, on the other hand, you may have, through your fondling and caressing, may have caused her to go before you got there. So in that case, she should cooperate with you and give you all the cooperation and consideration she can to help you to finish. Is that clear? After you've started, you may have to have another class to deal with the problems you've run into. This is a problem, of course, continence in this case of the single or one separated. I'll tell you this right now, this can be satisfied even in your sleep. In fact, in the normal case of the normal boy, it will happen anywhere from 2 to 4 times a month in his sleep. He'll have what's known as a wet dream. He'll be dreaming about some pretty girl and go off in his sleep. Some boys wake up and get terrible phobias and conscience stricken and everything else. This is terrible. Actually, it's a perfectly normal function, almost as normal as menstruation, believe it or not. The fact of the matter is that in the testicles where the semen is manufactured, it goes from there and flows. It's being continuously manufactured there. Never stops. And flows continuously into the seminal vesicles, which are about in the same position up here as the woman's ovaries. Seminal vesicles, one on each side. Little storage sacs. It goes up there and is stored there until they become so distended and so full they have to empty. And they will empty. Whether you do it, or it happens in your sleep, or you find yourself a woman, they will empty. You're just made that way. Believe it or not. Now there's people who the lower thought that this was all horrible, terrible. Shouldn't happen. You shouldn't have such dreams. How terrible. But it so happens that if it doesn't happen any other way, God has allowed it to do happen that way even in your sleep. To empty that, relieve that pressure, empty those little seminal vesicles, and start you on the normal routine. Does that shock you? Son, depends on what you call masturbation. Well, in cases of emergency such as that, there's no law against it. There's no scripture against it. I challenge you to find me any scripture against it. He says it's better to marry than to burn. Is that clear? Lest Satan, he speaks of, lest Satan tempt you for your incontinency. In other words, lest Satan accuse you and condemn you and make you feel under condemnation for your incontinency. You understand? But remember, God is merciful. God is a loving God. He's a merciful God. He knows your frame. He remembers that you're dust. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. So he knows how much you can stand, and he knows how much you need. And if it takes your help, well, God help you and have mercy on you. Is that clear? You'll have to thrash that out with the Lord. It means containing in any way. Containing. Holding. If you're continent against your wife or your husband, that's withholding. But continency is just means containing or holding. Containing it. Now, I think that deals with it. Let me just deal with the final aspect. Now, fellas, you have opened her up to the point that you're able to come in and these newlyweds, then you should be ready by that time to enter. This, in the medical terminology, is called mounting or various things. And the normal position, of course, is for her on her back with her legs spread open, her knees open, and you on top. This is normal. It doesn't always have to be that way. She can be on top or on side by side. Now, do not use the female on top position. If she is pregnant, it's very dangerous. But there's actually, believe it or not, less chance for pregnancy if she does take the upper position. Actually, there is less, is not as likely to occur. You will also find out that if she uses the top position, that it can be extremely sensitive, extreme sensation, believe it or not, because there's extremely deep penetration, you know, with her on top. Now, don't try that on your wedding night. Probably won't work. You have to get to learn a few things first. But it's possible, and there's extremely deep penetration. This is why it's extremely dangerous in the case of the pregnant women. In the case of pregnant women, it's better to, by all means, you fellows who have pregnant wives, but to almost stay away from them after about the seventh month. Either that, or you should try methods which do not require such deep penetration. Anything from keeping her legs closed with you astraddle of her to having her put her hand down there around you to keep you from going in too far. Is that clear? That's extremely important. Or you could do irreparable damage. You could cause a miscarriage by a too deep penetration during the latter days of pregnancy. It's perfectly legal, perfectly all right for you to have fellowship with your wife in this way while she's pregnant. Try to avoid the normal menstrual periods of the month when she would normally menstruate. Because if you do have intercourse at the time when she usually menstruates, you could possibly cause a miscarriage. Try to avoid that time. You have to avoid that week anyway when she's not pregnant, so why not take a week off when she is? You ought to be able to be continent for at least a week. some women are more acute and more sensitive when they're pregnant than when they're not, believe it or not. So it just depends on the woman. God has a large variety of people in the world, praise the Lord. But watch out for deep penetration, you men who have pregnant wives. Be very cautious about that, especially after the 7th month, or you could cause damage. You could batter the baby's brains out, or at the least cause a miscarriage. So watch it. You can, even without causing a miscarriage, can actually do brain damage to the baby, believe it or not, by too deep penetration in the latter stages of pregnancy. Use those methods that I told you. Either she, be sure she does not use the upper position, and for a while it may be all that's necessary just for her to close her legs, keep you from going in too far. But in the last stages, you probably have to put your hand around him, girls, right at the base of the penis to keep him from going in too far. And this is successful and this is possible, and this doesn't do any damage at all, because he is not getting in far enough to do anything. Now, in the very, very last stages, I would be very, very cautious, because you don't want to cause any trouble. Either she goes first or you go first. Whatever you do, or maybe you go together, that's fine. But if you don't, one of the other goes first, be patient, wait for the other one, do all you can to help them to finish. Because it is very bad, especially on the woman, believe it or not. The man may think he's disappointed if he doesn't get to go, but he usually does. But as I said, a woman can get congested, she can get tense, develop backaches and headaches, and a general state of psychological and physical confusion, dissatisfaction, if you do not satisfy her. Is that clear? So it's very important to try to satisfy her as much as possible. Now, some women don't require it as much as others, and it's very difficult to satisfy some women, no matter how hard you try. Some women, there's perhaps a psychological barrier there, or even a physical difficulty. But this is particularly true in the case of some women, where frigidity is a factor. And if you have any special problems like that, you're welcome to come to discuss them, and I'll give you books, or I'll discuss with you and help you on the matter. Come as a couple. Who's talking to you singly, unless you're too embarrassed or bashful about it? If you must, why, come alone, but I'd rather talk to you together. And I don't see why you should hide these things from each other, unless you're ashamed or afraid or something, that something's wrong with you or something. But if you must come alone, all right. If not, possibly come together. Now, in the latter stages, when you are finished and she is finished, everybody's happy. It's a wonderful relaxation. It's a satisfaction created by the Lord. And that's one reason why it's good to make love when you go to bed at night. So you have some time to sleep and rest afterward. Or, if maybe you take a little nap first, wake up during the night. Or, if you wake up early enough in the morning that you can get a little more rest afterward. Because you'll find it a little bit difficult to make love in the morning and then have to get straight up. I mean straight up in another way. But you should have a little bit of rest, even a few minutes relaxation, where you just relax a few minutes or doze and get a little bit of rest afterward. Is that clear? Amen? So try to make love at a time when it's convenient, when you have time to enjoy it, and time to relax a bit and rest afterwards, in that time of really beautiful loving, which shows that you really love her and that you really love him, as you lie there in each other's arms and show real love toward each other, genuine spiritual love afterward. when the physical need is all satisfied and that's all gone and you no longer have any desire, is a wonderful time to show how much you really love each other. Don't forget to say, while it's all going on, I love you. That's very important. Don't forget to say, I love you. Keep speaking words of love. Do you know that words sometimes can do more for a woman than anything else? Especially if you're speaking with love, tenderness, and meaning. Sincerity. Praise the Lord. Stop worrying about it. That's one of the best ways to prevent a climax, is to worry about it. If you don't and all else fails, well, go to sleep and try again. Honey, if you just don't feel like it anymore, that means you've gone. Whether you knew it or not, you probably went. Going is climaxing or the orgasm. Now, it's very violent in some people, and it's so easy with some people they don't hardly notice it. So don't be surprised. But work at it and see what happens. And you may hit the jackpot. One of those that really dumps on you when they climax. So praise God. It's kind of exciting to realize that you can make somebody that happy and excited and thrilled, and everybody's happy. Praise the Lord. As for frequency, I've already mentioned that, I think. Where? Well, anywhere. But you can get away with it. Complete nudity is important. Don't be so damn bashful. When? Anytime you can get away with it. How? Well, there are all kinds of ways of how. The equipment is very important. You may need some Vaseline, tissues, or that's for cleanliness afterwards, so you don't get the bedding soiled. And the wine is very helpful, more for her than for you. And, oh yes, very, very important. It's a good idea. Sometimes after all that activity, you wind up relaxed, but starving to death, hungry. So, I think you dear married couples should try to scrounge a little, maybe even a couple slices of bread or something to take home with you in case you need it. Praise the Lord. You know, a loaf of bread, a jug of wine, and vow. So Omar Khayyam said that not really in the proper order. It should have been a jug of wine and vow and a loaf of bread. Or sometimes, one of the most aggravating things about my wife was that she used to get hungry right in the middle. Honey, I'm hungry. Honey, I gotta go to the bathroom. For goodness sake, do go to the bathroom. And please eat before you go to bed. Amen? Positions, I've mentioned that. How to embrace. Very important, fellas. You can use all kinds of parts of your body to make love with. Even your feet. Your legs, your knees, your elbows. Like the story told about one couple, you're all married here, so I can tell you this one. She woke up in the middle of the night. She says, honey, is that your elbow? She said, if so, please turn over. If not, I'll turn over. For those who aren't married yet won't understand what I'm talking about. But you will find that it seems one of the natural, normal times for intercourse, a time when you have been rested and you are prepared, is when often you will wake, what they call is with a morning erection. A man will awake in the early hours of the morning, and the woman will awake and discover he's working on her front lawn. It's a nice way to wake up, girls. Amen. And also, it's a nice way to put him to sleep sometimes, if you want to just put him to sleep. The petting was very important. You can read all these scriptures here, and all of them describe it, if you only understand. be sure, stir not my love till he pleases. If you can, why, give him a little time to sleep a little bit afterward, and don't go needling him to get out of bed and get you a loaf of bread or something, whatever it is. Have you got all of this pretty clear? Now, with problems. One of the couples I married came to me a week later, and she was very sore and almost infected and almost bleeding and everything else. And I'm ashamed to admit that it's one of the couples I married, but it's one of the few couples I ever married, and this is why I'm so insistent on this little talk beforehand, because I don't want to cause any more damage by not telling you what to do. It so happens that one of the couples that has slipped through my fingers before I had a chance to catch them and tell them these things, because they were in a hurry to get married. And it turned out he was jumping in bed and just jumping on top of her and going to it and jumping off and going to sleep. He hadn't even gotten started petting her or preparing her, or she never even got started. So she wasn't lubricated. She wasn't ready. She wasn't open. She wasn't anything. He was striking a dry hole. So, she was really getting in bad shape. She thought she had some terrible female disorder. So, that's very important. And you can cause serious trouble and damage and illness by improper preparation. Don't forget it. And if she just hasn't got the lubrication, that's what the Vaseline is for. Use it. Now, in the early stages, she's not too well lubricated, and you may have to stick your finger in the side here to get the lubrication to rub up here. Do not rub this up here without lubrication. Is that clear? You can make it sore in a hurry, and she may not even want to then. Is that clear? It's very sensitive. Oh, I forgot to tell you something extremely interesting. One reason this is so terribly sensitive, that little thing that isn't any bigger than a pea, to show you the wonders of God's creation, we're fearfully and wonderfully made, has just as exactly the same number of nerve endings as the glans penis on the end of the man's penis. Identically the same number of nerve endings as the penis had. So there is a tremendous amount of sensation concentrated in that little tiny spot. Just as much as on the whole head of him, believe it or not. Praise the Lord. So it's important, very important spot. God created it. He made it for a purpose. Use it. Now, any questions? Oh, there's so many different ways. You can bounce up and down, rock back and forth, all kinds of things. I mean, it all depends on shake, rattle, and roll, whatever you want to do. You don't like to make love to a dead corpse, but sometimes too much movement on her part, you can get hot and break away. And watch out. There's a certain amount of synchronization and rhythm of movement together, which is wonderful. Either you can ride with it, you know, like this. You can ride with it, and that's the kind of rhythm that you should have. Whereas if you're going to boom, 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 you hit hard every time, let me tell you, that's bareback riding the hard way. So watch out. You'll find sometimes, boys, it's helpful to put your feet against the bed posts or the foot of the bed or the wall or whatever it is. And sometimes it's helpful if she can... may want to stick her feet straight up in the air, all kinds of things. Also, some people like to put some padding or a pillow under the girl's hips if she's lying in the bed. This is very helpful to some women. Some women can hardly even reach a climax without their hips propped up quite a ways by a thick pillow. Put a thick pillow under the hips of the girl. You'll find out that she cries a lot better. Some women almost require that, some kind of thick pillow under their hips. Just watch out it isn't your bed pillow that you're going to put your face on afterward, because you may not be very pleasant. Take a nice plastic pillow, sofa cushion or something, if you've got something handy, or a couple 2x4s or concrete blocks or something. Think the church should be willing to do anything for the Lord? So should you wives be willing to do anything for your husbands. Whatever makes him happy, whatever gives him pleasure. If you can't be humble, you're going to wreck your marriage. You have to be humble, confess and admit you're human. You have a human fleshly need. Be honest about it and not be afraid to satisfy it.